Bush concluded his opening by saying simply, "We got a problem to solve." Homeland Security Secretary Chertoff had already begun daily media briefings along with FEMA officials, including Mike Brown. He then gave a situation update and reviewed the short, mid, and long-term priorities. The immediate needs were daunting. To save lives, stabilize the flooding, completely evacuate New Orleans, deliver food and water to the stranded, address the security problems, and get medical care to those who needed it. And complicating all these matters was a scarcity of reliable information. Situational awareness has been a problem, Chertoff admitted. Even now, when the president asked about the emergency communications capabilities of state and local responders, he was told that they only had a limited number of satellite phones. Secretary Rumsfeld followed with an update about the military assets being deployed in the area, particularly to New Orleans. This led the president to speak about the possible need to federalize the response in New Orleans. Alluding to the deteriorating security situation in the city, he declared, "This is a war zone, I am telling you. I worry about riots breaking out. We will need to make up our minds about putting the federal government in charge in the next couple of days." Several other cabinet members addressed priorities that fell under their purview, such as transportation, health, energy, and environmental matters. "We will have meetings quite frequently until we are on top of the problem," the president concluded. It had been a grim session. As FEMA and the cabinet officers focused on concrete steps to help the devastated region, we tried to get the communications challenge under control. It did not go well. The disconnect between the reassuring, upbeat messages we wanted to convey and the bitter realities on the ground was simply too wide and too obvious. Following the task force meeting, President Bush spoke to the nation from the Rose Garden. He outlined the steps being taken to save lives, as well as the comprehensive planning underway for the long-term recovery. He tried to leave the impression that essential supplies of food, water, and medicine were getting to those most in need. It was true that the Coast Guard and other search and rescue teams were exerting heroic efforts, but the TV images of tens of thousands of people, stranded or trapped in New Orleans, short of supplies, were also real, and left the president looking like a purveyor of illusory positive spin that the response was going fine. Later that same day, New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin suggested the death toll in the city would likely be in the thousands. Thankfully, his estimate turned out to be way too high, but no one had any way of knowing that at the time. Dan Bartlett was working to make sure the communications effort at the federal level was aggressive. In addition to the daily briefings by his agency, FEMA Director Mike Brown was encouraged to do a continual round of interviews, particularly with the television networks. Secretary Chertoff, the cabinet member with ultimate responsibility for the response, also gave more interviews. But both Brown and Chertoff came across as out of touch. In an interview with Ted Koppel on Nightline, Brown said the convention center held some 5,000 people and that food and water had been supplied there by FEMA. The true number was closer to 25,000, and the center actually had no supplies at all. Similarly, Chertoff dismissed stories about the terrible conditions at the convention center as mere rumors. With optimistic administration appraisals being vividly contradicted by media accounts and images, the rose-colored statements by Brown, Chertoff, and other officials were pounced on by reporters, understandably so. While Bartlett was leading the broader communication strategy, I focused on day-to-day details, seeking to coordinate closely with some of my counterparts at relevant agencies. For example, by instituting a daily conference call to share the most crucial new information. Of course, explaining operational matters was best left to those closest to the situation. My role was to talk about what the president was doing, the meetings he was holding, and the bigger picture as we understood it in the White House. But here, too, the disjunction between message and reality was continuing to undercut us. On Thursday, President Bush's live interview with Diane Sawyer for ABC's Good Morning America created another defining reference point in the spiraling fiasco that was Katrina. This time, the problem was not the visual image, but the words Bush uttered. Asked why he and his team had remained on vacation as Katrina bore down on the Gulf Coast, the president defensively snapped, "I started organizing on Tuesday when we realized the extent of the storm, and I said, look, when I get back to Washington on Wednesday afternoon, I want to have a report on my desk and a cabinet meeting for you to tell me exactly what your departments are going to do to alleviate the situation." Millions of Americans found the president's response less than reassuring. Was it true that no one in the administration had realized the extent of the storm until Tuesday, when Bush himself had declared a state of emergency 3 days earlier? And Americans, who'd long heard and agreed with the president's own jaundiced, critical comments contrasting the bureaucratic mindset with the can-do spirit of real leadership, were dismayed to hear that Bush had demanded little more than a report on my desk by Wednesday afternoon, over 50 hours after Katrina's landfall. It sounded as though, in a moment of crisis, the president had practiced the worst sort of out-of-touch bureaucratic management, just the opposite of what he'd promised the voters. Of course, this communications failure is much easier for me to see in retrospect than it was at the time. Like the rest of the president's team, I was immersed in trying to meet the enormous immediate challenges we faced, including both the practical steps to alleviate the tragedy and the communications efforts to reassure and inform the public. Only looking back from today's perspective, outside the bubble, are the mistakes we all made obvious. On Friday morning at 7 a.m., just before his first visit to the Gulf Coast region, the president chaired a joint Katrina briefing with leaders from the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security. It was held in a secure conference room in the White House Situation Room. For 3 full days, Americans had been witnessing terrible images of human suffering on the television screens. It was gut-wrenching. Many wondered how the federal government, with its vast resources, could allow this to happen. They were demanding answers. Urged on by his key advisors, Bush started this meeting by sending a stern message. He was blunt and to the point. "We are not winning," he said. "On the ground, it is chaotic. We've got to get New Orleans under control. We've got to establish order as soon as possible." He expressed continuing concern about the command and control issues that were hampering cooperation between the state and federal governments. Then, after noting that a lot of hard work and good effort were being exerted, he said flatly, "I am not pleased at all with the results." The message was clear. Further failures in the Katrina response would not be acceptable. The president concluded his opening remarks by asking General Myers, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to bring home any Guard troops deployed abroad whose families had been uprooted by Katrina. Secretary Rumsfeld called on Admiral Keating, who appeared on video screen from Northern Command in Colorado, which is responsible for Homeland Defense. Keating outlined the military's priorities: saving and sustaining lives in support of federal, state, and local response efforts. He outlined the command and control system that was in place and the assets being deployed, including several naval ships, nearly 200 helicopters, and a growing number of National Guard troops. All were under the command of Joint Task Force Katrina, based at Camp Shelby, Mississippi, and headed by General Russell Honoré, who was on another video screen from the Gulf Coast. Named to head the task force only 2 days earlier, Honoré and his no-nonsense, take-charge approach had left a strong impression on Bush. Now Honoré stated that Louisiana was still a big problem, while noting that Mississippi was fairly stable. "The New Orleans Superdome was under control and stable," he reported. In just the past 24 hours, 15,000 people had been evacuated from the stadium. Now the convention center was the focus of attention. Some 25,000 to 30,000 people were still there 4 days after the storm had struck, and getting food, water, and medicine to them was the priority. Honoré mentioned reports of shootings and lawlessness, describing the situation at the Civic Center as a crisis that they needed to get under control in the next 12 hours. National Guard troops, he said, were being moved in to secure the area. General Honoré came across as fully in command, well informed about what needed to get done, and hard at work making it happen. Additional discussion ensued about the security situation. In response to a question from Secretary Chertoff, Honoré said that there had been isolated shootings, but reports of rapes around the Superdome and Convention Center appeared to be unsubstantiated. He said that people at the Convention Center just wanted to get out. As for looting, Honoré acknowledged people are scavenging for food because they don't have any. There were adequate supplies of food and water, as well as military strength on the way, but it would take time to secure the area and begin distributing goods.